Well, Omnic and I would like to welcome you back to another recording on the Venus-Tesla connection. Our website is hello-earth.com, and today is Thursday, April the 10th, 2014. It is April the 10th, isn't it? Yes, April the 10th. And we'll be reading today from Omnic's first book, From Venus I Came, Chapter 7, called The Creative Life. Omnic came to Earth from Venus in a physical body in 1955 at what appeared to be a little girl at the age of 7. Then in 1966, Omnic started to write her story. Hello, Omnic.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm glad you're feeling better, Curtis.
Oh, thank you. Well, we didn't record for a few weeks there. I was coughing and I'm almost better now.
I'm happy that you're better now.
Thank you. So, I hope, I just want it to sound good, and I want people to hear your words and hear what you have to say.
Well, thank you.
The woman from Venus. So, since you've been here on Earth, have you run into anyone else from Venus?
No, I haven't.
No. No one's called you and said they're from Venus?
Years ago, but, you know, it was just some weird lady who said that Elvis actually didn't die. He faked his death, and he was waiting for her. You know, it was one of those things.
Oh, she's the one who was on the Jerry Springer show.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, Jerry Springer, they can't just have you on. They have to have some other people that say something different, but it was terrific that you were on there with three of your children.
Yeah, I know. I demanded that I would only come on if I was treated seriously and not as a joke.
Oh, good.
I made him read the book first.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I had him to read the book before I came on.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Yeah, so he would understand and know what I was talking about the astral dimension and everything.
Oh, good. Well, I think he did a wonderful job in a way.
Yeah, he was well informed, and he defended me a lot.
Yes, and he said, my gosh, if you really are from Venus, this is fantastic news. Everyone should hear this.
Exactly. You know, and he told everybody that I was his most favorite guest of all the years he was on TV.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
That's great to hear.
Yeah. He really was very nice to me.
Well, that's great. I'm glad it's on my website for people to hear that interview. But this chapter is called The Creative Life, and it's right before the chapter called Earthward Bound. So this is chapter 7. I hope my throat is all right, but we will...
I do too.
We'll do the best we can here.
Okay. Have you got water nearby?
No, I don't. I just, maybe I should, but I think I'll be all right. Okay, here we go. And stop me anytime you'd like and comment along the way if you'd like, Omnic.
Okay, thank you.
All right, here's Chapter 7, The Creative Life. Compared to life as we know it on Earth, some physical planets are like fantasy lands. Life on Venus probably seems even more fantastic and unbelievable because there is the added dimension of being on the astral plane of reality and being. If you can imagine how difficult it would be to understand life on Earth from reading one book, then you will realize how difficult it is to understand life on Venus and the astral plane in reading only this autobiography. One way of looking at our transition to the astral is to think of it as our good karma, because we learned to live in harmony rather than conflict and war during our negative Iron Age. We were raised to enjoy our culture on a more beautiful level until the beginning of the next golden age at our physical level. Venus, astral, has exactly the same cities and landscapes as the physical planet had at the time of the Great Transition. The temples of Titonia had been designed and built while the city was physical by the masters of each subject and were recreated on the astral plane. Our homes, of course, changed over the years with the changing tastes of the people. As our culture entered the astral dimension or plane, we found that colors were more radiant and more abundant in every respect. Our sky was iridescent, a sea of ever-changing colors, and everything was luminous. Mountains, fields, trees, grass, buildings, clothes, furniture, and even our bodies gave off a warm, colorful glow of their own nature. Now the weather was controlled by the collective thoughts of the people. Never again was it too cold or too hot, too dry or too rainy. People who desired a change discovered that their thoughts could manifest a snowstorm enveloping their own homes and no others. People learned to control the color of the sky above their estate as well, and allowed other families their own free will to in accordance with the spiritual law of non-interference. What a wonderful freedom it was not to need food in order to stay alive. And because the astral body travels at such tremendous speeds, physical transportation became obsolete. Anyone had the choice to simply appear at his destination or to enjoy vehicles powered by his own thoughts. Around the house and neighborhood, walking or gliding along just above the ground remained the easiest way of going from place to place. In being able to manifest things directly from energy, we no longer needed to physically build anything piece by piece unless we just wanted to enjoy the craftsmanship which most of us desired to learn. As one unfolds spiritually, he becomes more of an individual than ever before. This truth shows up in the spiritual growth of a planet. Earth, in its spiritual infancy, is a planet where the masses of people are controlled and where conformity is widespread. As Venus was growing up, its people left the cities and mass-produced conveniences to lead a more natural life in independent villages. Each person learned to supply most of his own needs in order to learn to become more individual and creative. The spiritually advanced planets naturally are populated by individuals who express their individuality, creativity. Before the Great Transition, the people of Venus were very much involved in the arts, and nothing was more important than creativity in every area of life. Expressing oneself in the creation of harmony and beauty was considered to be the very purpose of one's existence. And because our flowing culture had already evolved to an astral level, translating to the astral plane did not change it so drastically. Our people had much more time to devote to the creative joys in life rather than what was necessary for survival. But the family and the home continued to be the center of life and creative expression. After the Great Transition, each family had much more freedom in creating its own home. Unlimited by physical materials and physical laws, anything imaginable could be manifested by thought alone. Building our own dome house together with the floating second floor was not a feat of engineering, but one of creative designing. Most of the architecture on Venus is based on circles, ovals, and graceful curving lines. In our neighborhood were homes that looked like several bubbles sitting atop each other or arranged in clusters along the ground. Domes were very popular. Many others were a combination of different geometric shapes. A few were elaborate and extensively detailed structures, like palaces and castles, but every single home was unique and enchantingly beautiful. An architect from Earth would probably call Venus a paradise where fantastic ideas have come true. A house of solid gold, studded with diamonds, rubies, emeralds, and pearls, is manifested as easily as a house of colored bricks. It would be almost impossible to create a home sculptured from a single giant diamond or ruby on the physical planets. But on Venus, astral, it is a matter of designing it in your mind and instantly manifesting it. Knowing of the unlimited possibilities, our people nevertheless create homes that suit their individual sense of beauty. It is the beauty that counts, not the amount of precious gems and materials and metals. One can have all these he cares to manifest. I cannot remember seeing a house in Titonia that was not surrounded by lush flowering gardens. Now that our creations are only limited by our imaginations, the flowers, trees, and bushes are much more exotic and colorful. If my aunt had wanted 3-foot-tall red mushrooms with white dots, these could easily be created. These would have been real mushrooms, smelling, tasting, and feeling as mushrooms do in the physical planets. Weaving throughout our elaborately designed gardens were walkways of stone and brick, or perhaps gold, depending on one's tastes. A garden would not be complete without fountains, statuary, ponds, and waterfalls. There would also be marble, wrought metal, and exotic wood benches. Our statues represented all kinds of beings, spiritual masters, angels, mythological features, and rulers of the elements. A person whose love was sculpting would create each piece by hand. If his interests were elsewhere, he would probably design each statue in mind and simply manifest it. The Titonians love lots of room and open spaces in their homes and grounds. Rooms were never cluttered or over-furnished, and everything that is created to adorn the house serves some useful purpose. Our furniture is, of course, created for physical reasons, for practical reasons, but it always has about it a quality of exquisiteness, of beauty, of individuality. A table cannot just be a table, or a chair just a chair. It must be something that others exclaim over when they come in. Each and every piece is a work of art. A chair you may look like a very beautiful, graceful, carved wooden chair with cushions, but the feel of it may be completely different. If a person who created the chair liked the feeling of sitting on feathers, then sitting in it would seem like being comforted by soft, downy feathers. Or if he liked the feeling of clouds or floating, then a chair or cushion may feel that way. Plush carpets may feel like marble, or the floor may look like marble, and yet when you walk on them, they may feel like grass or water or feathers or some soft material. Anything can be created to look one way and feel another way, depending on the individual's taste. Every room is a reflection of a family's individuality, personality, and interest, so there are bound to be an almost infinite number of variations. Some families devote their entire home to one of the senses, such as sound or smell, or the different rooms of a house may be devoted to sound, sight, smell, touch, and taste. In going from room to room, a person would experience various sensations in each sense. In a room devoted to sound, everything responds to sound or emits a sound of its own. Walking on the carpet may create a certain sound, while lying on it may cause a variation of the same sound. Sitting on the cushions or just moving around the room may set up a whole vibration pattern that causes the furnishings to emit harmoniously blending sounds. Everything there would contribute to a heavenly combination of melodies. A number of musical instruments may also be in a room for visitors to play. A person who has devoted his life to music may do the same with his house. Each room would be devoted to a different kind of musical instrument and its particular sound. Sounds. Fountains in the garden would emit musical sounds as the waterfalls, and all the trees, flowers, and shrubs would together create enchanting natural symphonies. The garden would not be complete without a wind harp, which is a harp that catches the wind to produce ever-changing beautiful melodies. In a room devoted to smell, everything has its own particular aroma. Stepping on a rug would cause a certain fragrance, perhaps that of a rose, to rise up. Touching a plant or a small cushion would cause it to emit whatever scent the creator had in mind in manifesting it. A painting of the countryside would very well emit fresh natural smells of country air, a cold mountain stream, or the lilies of the fields. Just entering a room devoted to touch could bathe a person with a soothing vibration. In addition, there may be wall hangings of fur and textures that feel wonderful to the touch. The floors could feel like wet grass, and painting of a waterfall could very well feel wet to the touch. Another room may be devoted to color. Here, a couch or a table or a coffee table would constantly change colors from red to purple to green to blue to yellow to red again, or the change could be random. The walls may change colors and the floors or the lighting in the room. This can be combined with sound, so that by singing different notes, the colors of the furniture will change. Everything depending on the imagination of the creator, and of course the limits of what the senses can handle. Too much change overwhelms the senses. It is the woman of the household who usually experiments with new furnishings, furniture designs, colors, and the whole field of interior decorating. However, each member of the family usually has one or more rooms of his own where he does the decorating. Where we on Earth spend the day cleaning house, the homemaker on Venus may create an entirely new set of furniture in an afternoon. Rapid change is a way of life. Life is not quite so easy as it may seem. A great deal of training and responsibility must go with the manifesting of things. The laws of balance and harmony must be obeyed, just as they are on the physical plane. In creating something, we cannot have simply a vague image in mind and get results. If a person thinks of a picture or a chair instead of a full chair, he will get something like a flat cutout. And it is not possible to command a chair to appear by saying chair. In the beginning of astral life, creating things is not easy. Even though children are given much freedom at home, they need to learn to properly use a thought form. They do not have the same attention level as adults. In their curiosity, they may tend to jump from one thing to another, so it is not at a very early age that they begin manifesting all sorts of things. First, their first toys and clothes are created for them by their parents. As at first they are underdeveloped on the astral, children need to get used to life there, and they need to go through adjustments just as children on the physical planets do. Children on Venus are trained by their parents to control their vivid imaginations with the power of concentrated attention. In being able to manifest things from energy, we have eliminated only the manufacturing step of creation. Designing is the main challenge for any individual, especially for a child who is learning the techniques of individual manifesting. At first, the designs are incomplete and unbalanced or are not harmonious with their surroundings. A child must learn to visualize in the mind a complete picture in all the dimensions with exact measurements, textures, colors, and design to the finest detail. If one leg of a chair is missing in the mental image, the real chair will be manifested with one leg missing. If the measurements are off in the visualization, then the real chair will be distorted and unbalanced in the same way.
Yeah, it's a matter of mastering visualization.
That must be difficult to do.
It's not easy. But it's important.
And you remember doing this on Venus?
Yes, I remember learning.
Oh.
Visualization is, on all realms of existence, is the basis for creating.
Well, this is interesting to us that since we've never lived on Venus, this is all new to us, but it's nice that you're explaining it to us.
Maybe. If you go there, then you can remember that.
Well, that would be an amazing trip to go to Venus.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
It's not impossible, you know. Many people go to the astral in between their lifetimes.
Oh. Well, this is good to learn.
Yeah.
All right, I'll... Here we go again, okay.
All right.
The colors, materials, and shape will have to balance out and agree with the theme of the room. Careless creating results in a pile of junk. Venus, astral plane, is not a chaotic place as of the power of thought. Everything is solid and stays as it is until the individual changes it. Had my aunt and uncle left Titonia for a few years, the house would have remained as it was. No one interferes with another's creations. And matter, once created, cannot be easily dissolved. It can be redesigned so the people are careful not to manifest a pile of junk. Once a certain room is created, it will stay as it is until someone changes it. Sitting on the orange sofa will always give off the scent of roses until its creator decides to change it. Eventually, after a great deal of experimenting, a family will settle with a home and furnishings that are pleasing, a style or mood that is just right for them. Once my aunt and uncle had found what they really wanted, our house did not change from day to day. Some people, however, live securely within their lives and continuous change because they are accustomed to it and are in complete control. On Venus, Each learns a variety of crafts and creative activities. People take great pains to do things by craft instead of simply materializing results, because it is more fulfilling, meaningful, and personal to do so. With lifespans that stretch into thousands of years, there's plenty of time to learn and master a number of arts and crafts. We realize that life could become mundane and boring if we just snapped our fingers to fulfill all our desires. There would be less to look forward to in the way of challenge and achievement. On the astral, it is possible to master talents such as playing a flute simply by willing it, but on Venus, this is looked upon as laziness and shunned. We strive to develop our talents through efforts and practice as people on the physical planets must do. With the exception of constructing homes, we try to do as much by hand as possible. One having little talents or interests in building furniture from basic materials would probably manifest it. Someone unskilled in the art of painting and not interested in learning that art at that time may at first manifest paintings to decorate his home. Everyone develops his talents in many areas, but only those of his own choice. Art is so much a part of people's lives that each home is filled with art forms that stimulate and inspire and reflect that family's individuality, tastes, and loves. A woodcarver's home would be decorated with handmade carvings. A weaver's homes may have textiles in his own creation, decorating walls, furniture, etc. Not only are talents in the various arts developed and refined over many years, but they are carried over from lifetime to lifetime. Being born with a strong talent and then devoting an entire lifetime to it usually means that in previous lifetimes, soul had already been involved in that art. My own interest in dancing did not begin in this life, rather many centuries ago when I was a dancer in ancient Egypt. Sculpting is another popular art. A few of the homes in our neighborhood had entire rooms that were sculptured. These were an adventure because the tables, chairs, and even shelves on the walls were all molded of the same piece of material as the walls and ceilings. Music is one of the most beautiful ways of expressing your creative nature. Most Venusians learn to compose their own music and play musical instruments because of the sense of personal fulfillment and joy. We can sing or create a piece of music that expresses our feelings more beautifully and completely than by speaking and by writing. The feeling element in our music is most important. Simple, beautiful sounds convey much feeling. I know of nobody in Tetonia who did not play at least one musical instrument. Most studied and mastered a number of different instruments. Many of our musical instruments are much like the ones here on Earth, the reason being that all instruments now used in the physical universe were first created on the astral plane and stored in the astral museum for searching minds to discover. Flutes, violins, and harps are among the most popular on Venus, as well as our vision of keyboard instruments. We also have various instruments that copy the sounds of nature, such as wind, running water, the rush of the sea, etc. Percussion instruments are rarely used in our music, although once in a while there is a drum beat or a clash of a cymbal. Harsh-sounding brass instruments are not popular either. The dense vibrations of these and the percussion instruments are more suited to the denser physical plane or the lower astral. Our music is flowing and inspiring, very unlike your popular rock and roll on Earth. Our higher form of music may seem foreign to Earth's ears, but more beautiful than he has ever heard. The heavy beat of Earth's modern music in the Western worlds gives spiritual indigestion and stirs the lower centers of man instead of higher, but this does not mean it is to be condemned, because many different kinds of musics are needed in the world to accommodate the different levels of individuals. It all serves its purpose. Most of our music is a personal experience enjoyed at home. However, we do have a few orchestras assembled by artists who have devoted their lives to music. We have an orchestra for which Venus is famous, the Chili Orchestra in the city of Retz. Dancing and singing is ingrained into our culture as much as our planetary language. Everyone in a Venusian family learns to dance and throughout life enjoys expressing feelings in a way no other form can. Venusians' dancing can best be compared to what on Earth is called interpretive dancing. Remember that the astral plane is the plane of emotions, which suggests that we are very much involved in expressing our feelings. Our dancing gives us this creative release. On Earth, acting may seem to be just another form of art, but on Venus, it is much more. Each one realizes that every day he acts out the drama of life in the lower worlds. This is true on every planet, although without the viewpoint of soul, the act is confused with reality. Most of Earth's people are so involved in their daily lives that they never have a chance to stand back and view everything objectively as soul. Acting.
Excuse me, Curtis, did you know that the thunder and drums are the basic sounds for the physical in the spiritual realm?
No, thunder and drums?
Yeah. When you meditate and you use a physical mantra, then you focus on the sounds of thunder and drums.
Oh.
And green is the color.
Green is the color.
Yeah.
Green is the color of what?
Earth's color. And the astral color is rose.
Oh, the astral color shows. Well, that's great.
Yeah, when you look at a chart, the different planes of existence, like physical, astral, etc., every plane has a distinctive color and sound. There's a chart in my book somewhere.
Oh, great. Well, we'll get to that someday.
Yeah. I just want to mention that thunder and drums are the basic sounds.
I see. That's interesting. Well, thunder can be all different kind of thunder. You know, just rolling thunder and big crack of lightning, and that's nature creating sound for us.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I like thunder.
Well, it's nice. It's nice.
It can be very soothing.
It can be. It's.
It can be very frightening too.
Yeah, if it comes at all at once, it can
or
make
startling.
Us startle. It can make us jump.
Exactly. Okay, we'll continue.
Okay. I'll just read that last line. Let's see. Most of Earth's people are so involved in their daily lives that they never have a chance to stand back and view everything objectively as soul. Acting is what children do most of the day, using the imagination to be something different or to make up stories. It is a very important part of childhood and also of life itself, because acting develops imagination and creativity. A person who cannot act cannot really live. We as human beings are constantly entertaining others or doing things to attract attention, all of which is acting. As a child, I played the acting game of looking into the mirror every morning and deciding what kind of person I would be that day, what kind of a personality I would have. Then during the day, I would be that kind of person. Adults play at this game too, because boredom is a very real threat for people on the astral plane. Having all the material possessions imaginable does not guarantee happiness. By pretending to be something we have always wanted to be, we can actually have that experience. Many Venusians play games to make life more interesting. It is not easy to understand life on Venus as a whole by looking at the parts. Our people do not lead fragmented lives. Each person is an individual, and depending on his personality, tastes, and past lives, will be attracted to various creative pursuits. His whole life may be devoted to painting and designing new musical instruments, though he may also be adept at writing, sculpting, and woodworking. Another person may be fascinated with physics and sciences, as well as playing the flute. No matter how interested in his favorite art or science one may be, there is no end to what can be learned. He could spend a whole lifetime studying plants and never reach a point of knowing all there is to know. As an example, for years and decades, people on Earth have studied plants, yet they are just now discovering that plants have feelings and respond to emotion. This is a great discovery here, though it has been known on other planets for a long time, because we recognize that a soul inhabits these plant bodies as we once did. No matter what planet or plane you live on, there is always something new to be learned. Throughout eternity, even though you may live in the physical world again, there is work to be done and there are problems to be solved. Even the highest being in the highest state of consciousness is still learning. Just because the afterlife is a mystery to many people on Earth does not mean that death is the end of everything. It is a shift of scenery, a new beginning on another level. The Supreme Deity itself has new experiences every day, though through all forms of life. The sciences are much a part of our lives, as are the arts. We constantly study the universe, nature, and how it works, and how we can work with it. Every day we try to work more with nature instead of against it, to keep from depleting any part of it and thus creating an imbalance. It may be difficult to live this way and take much effort and time, especially for people on physical planets, but we know that we love nature, it will love us in return. Helping people of the physical world is a goal that many of us share. Not only do we personally work out karma in this way, but we also have the satisfaction of helping people in need, especially those of planets like Earth. Scientists who die on Earth and other physical planets often continue their work on a higher plane to benefit all mankind. It is not unusual for their talents and knowledge to carry over through many lifetimes. Those of us who plan to lower our vibrations into the physical world and live on Earth often learn useful occupations. Quite a few of the Venusians living on your Earth today have come from the astral plane, where they acquire vast knowledge. Astral scientists frequently have no other choice but to continue their work in the physical plane. They must work with the physical laws under physical conditions. After a certain point, as my uncle discovered, a device that works well under the power of thought must be designed to function physically once it becomes physical, and this involves experiments in the physical world. Fortunately, we have kept our culture intact in every way. It would have been easy to rely on the astral powers of creating everything by thought instead of developing our physical talents. Then our culture might suffer, for we know that one day, at the end of our Iron Age, our life would return to the physical density. By preserving our faculties intact, we may be able to continue our life in physical density without succumbing to the elements. Venusians are very gregarious, and they gather for many occasions. Music, dancing, and singing are so important to every party. The entertaining is shared by everyone because everyone is talented in some way. Guests bring their own instruments and share new musical creations, or they may act out a past life or read new poetry that they've written. Here, the rich culture of the Venusians is brought out in a festival of creativity and sharing, through which a real community, a real understanding among people, real relationships develop quite naturally. Among party games enjoyed was one of only people who live on planes above the physical can play. In a way, it is like a masquerade, but instead of the guests just wearing costumes and masks, they actually change their body form and appearance. We use the power of thought to change the astral body, but keep the same personality, mind, and soul, the same inner qualities and identity. The host and hostess must have the delightful job of guessing who the guests really were as they came to the party. The challenge in keeping their identity secret was not so much in manifesting an unusual body form as in disguising the vibrations. Every individual has a certain expression, a certain look in the eyes, that is always the same from lifetime to lifetime, no matter what the body looks like. Then there are the popular personal movements, the way one sits or holds his head or uses his hands or smiles. All of these are clues to successful identification, and one's success was a matter of being aware of the inner qualities of his friends beyond their outer appearances.
You call that body language.
Body language. It's interesting that the
body
eyes...
Body language, yeah.
Interesting that the eyes always stay the same from lifetime to lifetime. That just is amazing. But wonderful to hear.
Because the eyes are the mirror of the soul.
Oh, yes. Well, we...
And the soul is the essence of a human being.
Oh, well, soul is so interesting to learn about.
Exactly.
Okay, along with the colorful costumes, familiar-looking animals show up at the parties too. Perhaps a bright pink cat or a shaggy purple hound or an orange pony with a blue tail. These were not really animals, of course, but those of us who had chosen such a disguise. As a child and an admirer of butterflies, I often flew to parties as one.
So I was easy to guess. I gave myself away.
That's funny. Okay, we're down to a page and a half here.
Okay.
Okay, the experience of having a plant or animal body yet being a human taught me that our human bodies are the more perfect vehicles for soul, living in the human state of consciousness. Having a butterfly body was fine for a while, but it had too many limitations. Although less restricted than the physical, Venus is far from being a utopia or the best world that soul can imagine. Our study of the laws of the Supreme Deity is so important because we too are growing just as any souls in any of the denser worlds. We too have problems to solve and lessons to learn, and we too are striving for higher awareness. Because we can have all the material things we desire, our lessons and problems are different on the astral plane. In the physical, emotions are mixed in with the material problems like earning a living, being ill, and living up to all the physical responsibilities. Here, physical problems, for the most part, override purely emotional problems, while in the astral, we are released to experience and deal with our emotions more fully. Venusians must put a great deal of effort into keeping an emotional balance. An unbalanced emotional state can be damaging to soul. We find that emotional problems have a tendency to be much more overpowering here. Attachment is very dangerous on the physical plane, for it keeps soul from having freedom. We need to be careful because it is easy to become attached to family, to others, to ritual, or any way of life. A good discipline is to try to like the things we dislike, because every dislike has a reason, usually emotional. As soul, we try to be aware of things that are not soul, such as attitudes and assumptions. We also try to discipline ourselves not to do everything at once, to not be in a hurry, and to live life in its fullest in a balanced way. We are thankful for what we have and what we are at every moment. Because we live such a very long time, it is important to pace all of life's possible experiences. It is very easy to get carried away because a person can have everything he wants just by using the power of thought. Often we must put our desires behind us because if all our experiences came in a few years, we might well be bored for centuries. One of our people's greatest problems is love attachments. My father was one who never recovered from his grief over my mother's passing. It is one problem that can seriously unbalance a Venusian and stall his spiritual growth. Emotional feelings can avalanche on him before he is aware of what is happening. Emotional balance is crucial. A soul can create karma on the astral plane just as on the physical or any other of the denser worlds. For many, the astral plane is heaven where the physical body dies. Life as it is on Venus should give you some insight into life on your astral after leaving your physical. It can be very beautiful, but like life on any of the lower planes, it is limited. And that ends the chapter.
Well, that was great.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad. Thank you, Omnic.
Well, thank you, Curtis, for allowing the people to hear this.
Yes, great. Well, I'm
and for sharing my message with the world.
Oh, thank you very much.
Because that's very important. That's really the basis of my whole mission here.
It must be an amazing accomplishment to try and accomplish this mission of yours.
Yeah, well, people like you make it easy for me because you help it to become more and more spread and make people aware. I thank you very much.
Oh, I'm so happy to be able to do this, and thank you for that, for the internet.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to share time with people.
Well, thank you, Omnic, and we'll talk to you next week, and we'll do Chapter 8 called Earthward Bound.
Okay. And Baraka Bashan.
Baraka Bashan. Bless you, dear.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.